Heavenly Father, for the next few minutes as I bring this teaching from the Word of God, I pray, dear God, that everyone shall be quietened. Let the young people not speak a word nor whisper. We pray, dear God, that the children will remain quiet, and maybe we pray the babies will not cry. We pray that the adults will be at work and awakened for what I have to say. Because this is a teaching message, may they listen on purpose, God. For we know there are good things that you have to say to us tonight. Let there be great victory in the lives of everyone. And let us leave this place as overcomers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching tonight is entitled, 12 Steps to Victory. 12 Steps to Victory. I believe that this is the most important lesson that I have given in this Family Life series. And I believe it's one that God wants everyone in this building to hear and hear very diligently. So I want nothing to disturb you. I want you to listen very, very closely. Because I want to share with you through God's Word how each of us can have victory over every sin in our life and every single hassle that we might come into. You see, we may have these hassles in our own personal life. And I meet with people almost every single day in my office who come with me bearing serious problems. People who want to overcome these things within their life. And some of them go along for a while and they seem to be on top of this situation. But all at once, down they go. And now they're in the awful valley. The valley of condemnation and the valley of pressure. And a sense of failure has engulfed upon them like the mighty waves of a sea. Some try to struggle back after they fall down. Others feel that to struggle back would be I want to say to you that that is not God's will for your life. It is not God's will for your language and defeat and failure. You can live a victorious life if this Bible that I hold in my hand is true, that I've held to for years. Now, well, man does not need a doctor. And let me say to you that Jesus Christ is the great physician. He's never had a pain in his body except those that he bore on the cross. He is the master physician who knows victory in his life. And I want to give you 12 steps to victory as come from the master physician himself. Turn on the overhead projector now. And I want you to feel free, as Pastor Heffelfinger operates this overhead projector tonight, to write down the notes and follow along with me as we go through this sermon tonight. Number one, the first step to a victorious living in our Christian life is we must be willing to be free. Yes, there is no victory without wanting victory within your life. There's a lot of people that talk about victory in their life, but deep down in their heart, they really don't want it. You see, they enjoy what they're actually doing. And they want to rationalize, and they want to find an excuse that will allow them to continue on doing with what they're doing. And as long as they're hunting for this kind of rationalization, and they're coddling this kind of attitude, and they're petting that darling of a sin, that besetting sin that is within inside, there will never be victory within their souls. Oh, I know you shout when I preach on another person's sin. You shout glory, hallelujah, when I deal with their deepness. But when we deal with your darling of a sin, which is called the besetting sin, the one that you coddle, the one you hold on to, it is a different story. And I want to emphasize tonight, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're a hopeless mass of confusion. If we compare ourselves to the world system, we're in a worse situation. Or it's even a worse situation. If we say everybody else is doing it, so we might as well do it. The Kinsey Report said most men are unfaithful to their wives, and most people cheat on their income tax. And most people are dishonest when it comes to insurance claims. And majority of the young people have taken pot and been promiscuous in sex before marriage. And therefore, why can't I just go ahead and do it because everyone else is doing it? Do not hold your life up to what others say, but hold your life up to what This book says, regardless of what the world says, and even if it's the only one in the world that's living by this book is you, you live by the book. Say a good amen. And let me say right now, you ought to say, Lord, this book is right. This book says that I'm wrong. And this book says that I'm guilty in this sin I have in my life. And I want to be free. And I want you to help me to be free. And I am willing to be free. And so I'm asking you to set me free. Now, unless you're willing to take step number one, which is this one. Everything I say in tonight is worthless. You might as well leave and walk out of these doors. For here is a starting point. And let's zero in on it right now. If you've got a problem, if you've got a hassle, and you really want to be free, or do you really just want to discuss it? Do you want to argue with somebody about why this problem is happening in your life? Do you want to talk about your background and say, this happened to me because of my background? Or I didn't have a bicycle as big as a kid down the street, and that's the reason I'm this way. If that is your rationale, then there's no hope for you, my dear friends. Or you say, it's just the way I've been raised, preacher. Aren't it's experience that I had way back there? It's because of my personality. It happened because of this, or it happened because of that. It's because of where I live. It's because of what I was taught. And on and on and on and on we go. Of course your past has left scars in your life. But ladies and gentlemen, there is no freedom. There is no victory until you want to be free and realize that God can set you free. Say a good amen. Now, when that step is taken, when you're willing to look up and say unashamedly to God, God, I have lived substandard. I am not living where you want me to live. I'm not walking in the light that you want me to live. And I cannot handle this thing myself. Oh, God, you must help me. I want to be free. Until then, there's no victory. But whatever hassle it may be, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call that hassle by name and say, God, and call it by name. I'm not going to play around with this thing anymore. I want to be set free. And then you're on your way to step number one, and you're ready for step number two to victory, which is called, we must confess our sin. To confess sin means that we must identify it. We must call it what it is. We must confess that it's sin. It's sickness. No, it is sin. You'll say, it's something that's out of kilter with my personality. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's sin. You'll say, it's a disease called alcoholism. If it is, it's the only one I know that we bottle and sell over the counter. You say, you don't understand, it's my Irish. No, it's the sin. It's devil. Say a good amen. Now, as long as you apply it to something else rather than what it is, there's no hope. Now, I know there's great emphasis today that is placed upon the biblical doctrine of confession. And I think it's long overdue. I believe that God's people need to be positive. I believe we need to confess the word. I believe that we need to speak the word. I believe that we need to confess victory in our lives. There's a lot of silly things being said about confession, too. A lot of things that you read and you hear on tape that's got people confused. And recently, Brother Jimmy Swaggart on the PTL Club said that he had made some mistakes when it came to the doctrine of confession, that he'd actually admitted that suffering was all completely wrong when many of the great men of God he knew had advanced along the area. And I want you to know, my friends, sometime when we think we got all the answers on this situation, we better be open for God and don't get ourselves on a limb so we can't chop it off. Say a good amen. And some of us, in some cases, have carried around devastating areas to our Christian faith because of this doctrine that has been misused. And here it is, that if you don't confess it, then you won't have it. So let me give you an example. Here's a man dying on his deathbed. You go to that man when he can scarcely speak and say, brother, what's wrong? Are you sick? And he will say, no, I'm not confessing it. Why does he say that? Because he's been told that if he confesses, that it will get him and it will get hold of his very life. Now let me talk to you just a minute. Don't you misunderstand me. This preacher believes that we ought to confess healing, we ought to confess the word, we ought to confess victory, we ought to confess that we become overcomers, and I'll point that out a little bit later in life. But here is what the word of God says. The only way you can get rid of sin is what? To confess it. And some folks feel that if they say, I have a hassle, or I have a cold, or I have a problem, or I've got a besetting sin within my life, they're giving grounds to the devil. No, no, my friends. It's simply I have a cold. But I'm asking God and believing that he's going to heal me of this cold. I have a habit, but that habit has been taken care of on Calvary. And I'll not live it. I'll not confess it. I'll believe for victory. Come on, say a good amen. It is not knowing the problem. It's recognizing the problem. For when we confess our need, we are admitting that we are not sufficient in ourselves. And then it puts us in a place that we can rely on God to come and do what we can do and allow the glory to go to God. Come on, say a good amen. God is not waiting up there in the heaven like a big villa with a big old billy club. And every time you sit wrong, he bops you over the head. Come on, say amen. The Lord is there waiting compassionately. Waiting to move in your life. Let's confess the word. Let's speak the word. Let's get us a scripture. Let's stand upon the word. Let's confess victory. Let's confess victory. But at the same time in our lives, let's realize that when sin dwells in our life, we must not cover it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And tonight, if you have a darting of a sin, come to God and say, I have this sin. I've fallen short. Forgive me, God. I went out of this dilemma. Say a good amen. Thank God for the person has enough courage to say, I have been wrong. I have sinned, but there's no reason for me to wallow in this filth. The children of Israel remained in the wilderness for 40 years. You know why? Because they had rebellion in their heart. And they learned through temptation. You don't have to stay in the wilderness 40 years. Some of you have been there for 40 years. The truth is you can give guided tours through the wilderness. Amen. You know every question. You know every pool, you know every gorge, you know every palm tree. You know them all. You can stay there 40 years or you can stay there 40 days. We learn by what we suffer. As God's people, let's get out of the wilderness. God didn't want the children of Israel there, and he doesn't want us there either. Say a good amen. But I'm preaching good and you're not saying amen. Come on, say amen. Did you know a man is not saved until he confesses he's a sinner? And that's why it's hard to get church people saved. That's why it's hard to get them working for God, they say. But I do this, and I pay my tithes, and some of us are tithers, and others of us are workers. Oh, boo. That's in the Greek. You can look that up if you want to. Amen. You understand I'm a deacon, and then I'm a... No, you're a soul winner first, and then a deacon. You're a soul winner, and then you're a tither. You're a soul winner, and then you're a Bible study person. You're a soul winner, and then you're a bus driver. You're a soul winner, and then you're a soul winner. Say a good amen out there. By the way, one of the gifts of the Spirit is not soul winning. That's not a gift of the Spirit. Brother Barnett, not too long ago, I was holding him a pastor's school in California. A professor brought his students with him. He stood up and said, after I'd finished talking to why everybody ought to win souls, and he said something like, Pastor Barnett, it's all right for you to win souls because you have the gift of soul winning. But what about people who do not have this glorious gift of soul winning? And then he said back, and all these students applaud because they thought they really had me there. They thought they made a fool out of me. You cannot make a fool out of a fool. How many have found that out? And I looked at him and I said, sir, I don't know if you are unintelligent in any other areas or not. Except I used a different word. The first part of that word is it. And the second one is the same thing. Amen. And I said it is not the gift of the Spirit. Soul winning is everybody's job. And there is an evil doctrine that is spreading the land today called predestination. It has come out of a group of lazy Christians who do not believe in reaching the world for Christ. So they say nobody will be saved unless God reached them. And from the beginning of the earth, Some were predestined to be saved, and some were not predestined to be saved. Let me tell you how I believe predestination. Here's how we believe it. When we come to the door of salvation, we look back over the door, and we see written above the door the word predestination. After we've entered into the kingdom of God, my friends, we can look back and see that now God has a plan for our life. Let me tell you something. It is God's will to save everyone. There is none predestined alone. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save everyone. Say a good amen. But it's hard for self-righteous people to get saved. Like the publican, they say, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not like other men. I had a revival years ago as a young evangelist. That's been years ago, you can be sure of that. And in that revival, there was a lady that came with low morals. Everybody in town knew her reputation. She came to the altar. She gave her heart to the Lord. She was gloriously blessed. She came back that night and someone told her about the Holy Spirit. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. She came back the next day and was baptized in water. And there was a fellow in the church they used to call Uncle Willie. And Uncle Willie was a Baptist that had served God for years, but he had never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And Uncle Willie got mad as the dickens. Uncle Willie said, everybody knows that she's been a lady of low morals, and here for years I've been serving God. You see, he thought he could earn it. And if we want deliverance over our hassles and our diseases and our habits, we'll have it if we will confess that we're lost and we're sinner, but confess the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, this is wrong, and it doesn't please you, and it doesn't please me. Forgive me. I confess it. And brother, you're ready then for step number 3. Glory. How many have followed what I'm saying here tonight? We must know, number 3, that sin hurts God. Listen to what David said. What did he say? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, O Lord. Our sin is more against God than anyone else. Oh, of course, when we sin, it's against ourselves. Of course, when we sin against our believers. The sin affects our children. The worst thing is the sin affects testimony. Hurts God. And when you and I do not have victory in our life, it is an offense to God. And it hurts the heart of God, and he bleeds. But it literally broke her heart that she was willing to die for her son. It must dawn on each of us that our disobedience and our sin has God, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. It causes our high things, our weaknesses. God doesn't wink at us. The Bible says that ignorance hates him. Because it was for our sins that he sent Jesus to die. And we realize, when we realize that what we're doing hurts God, it breaks his heart. It makes him miserable. It hurts him. Then we're ready for step number 3. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to displease God? I ask you, my friends, wouldn't you want to be proud of him? Wouldn't you like to say, dear God, if I knew what you wanted me to do, I would do it. Because I would like to be your segula, the Bible said in the Greek, which means peculiar treasure. Now, you're peculiar, all right. Now, I know that. But that means a special treasure. Number 4. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Oh, I could preach an hour on each of these tonight. Don't worry, they get faster when I get close to the end. So some of you are timing me on each one. And you know we're in trouble right now, but you're going to find out that we are in trouble. Amen. Number 4, we must know that God has delivering power. Oh, I almost shouted when I wrote that down today. When a man walks to the front of this church and stands here and proves to me that there are certain individuals that have sins upon them that cannot be delivered, I will give you an example. I know there's preachers, good fundamental preachers that believe God, they're heading to heaven, but they preach that God will not forgive the sin of homosexuality. They say the men have been turned over to reprobate minds and God won't forget them. I want to tell you something, friends. My Jesus died for every sin. And the Bible said he became that sin on the cross. Say a good amen. I don't believe that he can save the homosexual. I'll take this Bible and stomp on it and walk out and never preach another message. There is nothing that can fasten itself to your life that if you bring it to God, he will set you free from it. And let me read to you Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in the newness of life. Why don't you shout while I read it? Hallelujah. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, that's the devil, which is crucified with us, the old life, that's the body of sin, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 14, hang on. For sin shall have no dominion over you. For you are under the law, but you're under grace. Can you say a good amen? Sin shall have no dominion over you. Why? Because God raised Jesus from the dead, and because the power that raised him from the dead lives within us. And when we ask Christ to come in us, and that power is more powerful than the innate sin that was within us and any outward sin that is around us. And that's the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. The devil's got many people believing that we've got to live like this in our life in certain areas. Under bondage, under slave. I want to tell you, saints, it's a lie. And don't you believe it. Number 5. We must know, if we want victory, that we have legal rights to deliverance. Now, I didn't say that we deserve it. There's a difference between legal rights and deserving those rights. If there's anybody in the world that ought to know about Americans having legal rights and not deserving, America should know. There's a lot of people that are demanding their rights that do not deserve them. A lot of people taking advantage of our Constitution that do not deserve it. There are a lot of people taking advantage of civil rights, and I'm not referring to the black issue because they deserve those rights. Every race in this country is equal according to our Constitution. I'm not talking about that. But there are some people that are calling their rights and saying they deserve them that don't deserve them, but they're getting them anyway. Why? Because it's a legal document that says that you have the right, whether you earn the right or deserve it or not. Why? Because it's written in the Constitution of the United States of America. And my dear friends, once you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, he puts you into a legal position where you have the legal right to be free. And those he sets free are free indeed. It has nothing to do whether you deserve or not. Hallelujah. That's why a harlot can come and be saved and filled immediately. That's why a murderer can walk this aisle and be forgiven immediately. That's why gossip that has tore down somebody's reputation can come and be set free. Not because they deserve it, but it's in the legal document. Glory to God. Say a good amen. Let me tell you, God will honor that right, and that's not all. He'll make the devil honor that right too. How many of you believe that God's big enough to make the devil do something? Hallelujah. And if I could just get you to realize that even that Satan's power comes from God, you have a right to be free. He purchased that right. My dad's dad passed away several years ago, and when he did, they got together, the girls, to divide up the will. There were 4 girls and my dad being the 5th one. 4 girls and 1 man. There was one sister that I believe that the family had poured in probably 90% of their income. They had given that girl who had wasted, who had used, invested in land and become a rich girl under the pretense that she was using their money. And one of the sisters says, in effect, she's already got more than we'll ever get, so she should be left out. But my daddy was administrator of the rear of the wheel there, picked it up and read it, and it read this way. That it be divided among all five of them. No matter what they said, the will said she had a legal right to it, and she did. My mother, her stepdad passed away. I got to tell you, this is beautiful. My mother told us about 2 years ago, Maura, something like that, that she just felt like, since she'd been serving God for years, my mother's counseled with people, helped people. I mean, literally, brought a fast death upon her heart. The doctor said her health problems were because of the ministry and the stress that was upon her. And she said, was riding down the road one day, I just got a feeling that God's going to let me come into some money in the next few years. I busted a button off here tonight. All right. There it is. Amen. And we laughed at Mother. We said, oh, Mother's going to be rich. We laughed. Her stepdad died, who didn't even much care for her, they thought. Her mother died, and her stepfather was the only one remained living. And they brought out the will. And they had everything willed towards the half-sisters and all, except there was some legal document that said that she had to be included no matter what they said, and the land was ended up being worth about $80,000, but that's not all the story. We laughed and said, well, Mom, I guess it's right, but you're still not rich yet. The other day, about 3 weeks ago, they wrote and asked her, because all around her they had discovered oil. It's in Oklahoma. And they want to drill some wells on her land. Hallelujah. Because I'm her heir. Hallelujah. And I've got some legal rights. Come on, say a good amen. Whether I deserve them or not, God has given you some legal rights. And you know what your rights are? To be free from sin. And God will bankrupt heaven if he has to keep his word and to give you his rights. Number 6, if you want victory in your life, we must draw from the strength of God's people. Listen, you can't win the battle in your own strength. I want you to know something. I need you to get to heaven. I need your strength to get to heaven. The truth is, I don't believe I'd make this without some people to help me. And let me encourage you to run with people that have strengths that you don't have. If you have trouble gossiping, don't run with a gossiper. You don't go to a doctor that has tuberculosis if you're trying to get cured from tuberculosis. Don't go to a backbiter if you have problems in that area. If you're negative, go to a positive person. Seek out people that you can draw from their strength. Number 7, we must change our association. Speaking of changing your associations, I better quit running around like that. You do nice work, Brother Heffelfinger. You know that there is a difference between setting by the fire and setting on the fire. How many know what I'm talking about? Ask Peter. He sat by the fire with unbelievers. And what did he do? He denied Jesus. The same guy that took the sword and said, I'll die for you, and swung it and took off the ear of one of the attackers. But when he sat in the seat of the scornful, it wasn't right that he was wrong till he was sitting with the sinners. But the next time you see Peter, he learned his lesson. He was with the disciples. And he stood up to preach, and when he did, those men stood up with him. And he preached, and 3,000 were added to the church.
boldness because he was with God's people.
I got to tell you a story. I was in L.A., Holy Revival. I must have been only about 19 years of age. It was in West L.A., in a lot right beside the church, on that road that goes, street that goes right to Santa Monica, one of the most populated, and that was a time when the Hell's Angels were big. And one night in the middle of my revival meeting outside in this tent, they rolled in on their motorcycles. The crowd wasn't very big that night, and they walked in and they sat down, and right in the middle of my service, they began to act up. And I stopped and said, not knowing what they were, "Fellas, you act straighten up back there." And they all laughed at me. "Straighten up back there." And they laughed again. Finally, someone called the police. And the police came and rolled in. The next night, they said as they left, "We'll be back tomorrow night. And we'll make havoc of this place." But in the meantime, I got a bunch of fellows that had been in several revivals I'd held in that Los Angeles area that were just great big bruisers. They weren't too sanctified as yet. Amen. I put them all in the front row. They rolled in that night. You ought to have seen how mean I was in that service. "Oh, I got mad. You fellas can..." You know why? Because I had some backup. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something, people. You better run around with God's people. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a little technical here now, but I have heard some reports. And it's an isolated case, and I want you to know where I stand on that, of some girls and fellas who have felt it their lot to go to the disco. "Oh, we won't drink," and yeah, I've even heard of some of them that have been sipping around on the grapes a little bit. Because they just feel that's the thing to do, where they can meet people. And one person said, "So we could witness, la-di-da." If you go in there with an 18-pound Bible in your hand. Come on, say a good amen out there. Your Christian dedication makes me sick. It's punty, it is miserable, and you're a compromising lemonade pussyfooter. You don't want to be free. You want the muck, and you want the mud. Brother, there's nothing in there but filth and contamination that'll wreck your soul. Women come to my office and say, "We got lonely, Brother Barnett, so we went to a bar to seek out companionship." You need to get saved and change your association. I'd rather go to hell alone than go to hell with a crowd. If you go to the tavern to pick up your girlfriend, fellas, you're getting what you deserve. You'll say, "Preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. That's not love. I'll go somewhere else where they preach love." Yeah, and they may love you in that church and your kids into the penitentiary. Come on, say a good amen. Somewhere along the line, God's people need to get wrapped up with God's people. God's people need to come to prayer meeting. God's people want fellowship. They've got good fellowship in the Bible studies, don't they, Jack? Ready to go and where they work for Jesus. Get around. Number 8, how many still want victory in your life? Amen? You must commit yourself to specific service for Christ. You say, "Preacher, we know you and this..." Seek out the choir, excuse me, Bill in the choir. Seek out the bus ministry. I was proud of myself for several weeks here. Play in the orchestra. "Pastor, I'm not qualified." Did you know the greatest men that worked for God didn't seem qualified because Moses had a speech impediment? One day, God told him to go to the old King Pharaoh. God said, "Moses, I want you to go and I want you to speak." Moses said, I can't speak very good." God said, "Moses, what do you got in your hands?" "I got a staff, Lord." God said, "Throw it down, Moses." And Moses threw it down, and it turned into a snake. And God said, "Moses, what do you see?" And he said, "I see a snake." God said, "Moses, pick the snake up by the tail." And Moses said, "Lord, I'm not only not a feet too good, I forgot to tell you, I don't feel very good either, man."
you have to read that very close to get that in the Word of God. David said, I would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than dwell in the tent of the wicked. I'd rather be in God's house than with the world. Say a good amen. Some people don't understand why we clap and say, la, 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 la. They don't understand why we have some of them kind of jump when we sing. Someday I'll put a nail in their foot to keep them down. Amen. But this is our gathering together place. Number 9. 2 minutes. We must claim a promise for victory. Now, this is one of the most vital things you've ever done. First of all, you decide what your need is. And then you get you a promise from the Word of God that has provision in it for your need, and claim it. Cut it out. I'm not going to do it tonight, but I used to have an old Bible. I hadn't done it a long time. I used to get that Bible and put it on the ground, and I'd stand on it. It almost seems sacrilegious, except there is no power in this old Bible. As far as it's concerned, it's some paper bound together by some leather. But the Bible said we ought to stand on the Word, so I just stood on it. And I used to get my finger out, and I used to point at the Scripture, not to remind God, but to remind me. I know ladies who have taken the Bible and literally wore it out where it says that you could claim your salvation and your household. And they just pushed it and pushed it until they faded it out. Because God, you're going to save my household. I know people that need healing that have gone around and just, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Ask anything in my name and I shall do it. Ye shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're lonely, get that scripture. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the world. If someone's coming against you to destroy your ministry and your testimony, get that scripture. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Better yet, put your need on a piece of paper. Put the scripture reference that is a promise that fulfills it. Take your shoe off. Put it in the shoe. Hallelujah. Put the shoe in the back of it. And as you walk around, have that scripture on there that says, whatever your foot prompts upon, you can have. Glory to God. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here tonight. I step on old poor old Brother Dale Rankin. They got saved this morning. Amen. Promises are you. Get yourself a promise and live by it. And then number 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 is my reference. Number 10, we must care about spiritual people. I have learned through the years that some people who are the hardest on certain sins are literally throwing up a smoke screen to cover up their own sin. I remember a preacher that used to just condemn everybody that had divorces in their lives. It was a few years later that man who preached so hard against it had it happen to his own life. Paul said, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judges, thou art guilty of the self same thing. But here's what I want to tell you. I have prayed myself through to victory many times by praying for the need of another saint. And as I prayed for them, victory began to come to me and my need. There have been times that I've been at the altar praying for people for healing for their body, and I've been as sick as a dog. Thought I was going to throw up. But still I knew God was the healer. I prayed for them and God healed me right there. There'll be times I sit in my office and people come in and they've got a problem. They'll say something like, is Pastor Barnett, my rent is due and I need $30. And Pastor, what am I going to do about this awful thing? And right then I thought, oh Lord, if you only knew the pressure I'm worried about financially, even as far as this church is concerned. There have been times that my problems have been worse to them, but I ministered to them, and you know what happened? It took care of my problem. My mother, when she married my dad, had not yet received the Holy Spirit, and she wouldn't tell anybody. She was embarrassed. My dad was an evangelist, and he was praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My mother said, "What should I do?" He said, "When people want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just get down and pray with them like you want them to receive the Holy Spirit like you have it." And sure enough, she received the Holy Spirit praying for others. Hallelujah. Number 11. It is found in Ephesians chapter 6. We are given a list of spiritual armor. Verse 14 says, "Have your loins girded with truth." Underline the word truth there with your pencil. "Have on the breastplate of righteousness," underline righteousness, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace," underline gospel of peace. Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith," underline faith, "and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," underline sword of the Spirit. And these are all weapons. First, we have truth. And that is in your head. Be sure you're thinking the truth. Don't let the Satan sell you a lie. Number 2, righteousness. It's a breastplate. It protects your heart, righteousness does. And remember, only God can make you righteousness. Number 3, the shield of faith. That's your protection, the shield that is in front of you as long as you have faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And if it's not a faith, it's a sin. Number 4, the sword of the Spirit. And that is the Word of God. And it's as sharp as any two-edged sword. And it's used to chop the devil out of the devil. Hallelujah. You can use that word on the devil when he comes to you, say, "Satan, I'm going to cram this word of God down your throat." Hallelujah. This book will keep you from sin, but Satan will try to keep you from this book. And 12 and last, testify of victory. But as a kid, I about forgot the story how it went, but maybe you can help me. There was an old train that was trying to get up a hill. Remember the story? And he said, "I think I can, I think I can, I thought I could, I thought I could, I know I can, I know I can, I have, I did, I did, I did." And I want to tell you, that's what God's people ought to do. They ought to walk out of this building saying, "I've got the Word of God. I've made the first step by confessing my sin. I want to be set free. I have all of God's people praying for me. I can go to them when I need them." And please don't expect us to search you out. We can't read minds. But when you're hurting, come and tell us you're hurting. And we'll try our best to help you. There is victory for every believer. God wants His people to walk in faith, in love, and zeal. I had more, but I must be true to my word. Bow your head and close your eyes. Glory to the Lamb of God. People, I feel like I could shout for joy and leap over a wall and run through a troop. Because I want you to know that there's victory for every individual in this building tonight. Brother, I can feel the presence of God just breathing across this place. I can almost feel the wind. Hallelujah. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me, the song goes. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Do you really want victory? Do you want to get over that hassle? Do you want that besetting sin destroyed? Do you really want to please God, or do you want to hurt Him? Oh, don't hurt Him. Don't hurt Him. He stands and He knocks. Don't you feel His nails pierced hands? Can't you see His feet? Can't you see that side that was pierced? Can't you see the blood dripple down His brow? But I don't seem anymore that way. I seem that way because he died, that you could live even as he lived. But when he sees you rejecting his sacrifice, his death for you, it breaks and grieves the heart of God. Oh, Brother Barney, with just a little old word I said out of hate. But God's not pleased when you curse his name or when you use gutter language. Oh, Pastor, with just a little nip. But if it caused someone to stumble, my dear friends, it hurt the heart of God. Brother Barney, with just a casual word I said about somebody, but it hurt the heart of God. God wants to set you free here tonight. Oh, I believe we're going to have an altar call now. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want everyone in this building to raise your hand. You'll say, Pastor, I don't want to live the way I've lived anymore. I've got a recipe that you've given me straight out of the Word of God. Preacher, before you, I want you to know that I want to be free. I'm tired of living this way. I've got to realize and want to be helped, and I want to be helped. Pastor, how many in this building will say, I want victory, I want freedom, I want out of this camp? Raise your right hand, hold it up high. Put them up. I don't care what your need is. Salvation, spiritually, physically, put it up. Oh, thank God. Glory to God. I want everyone in this building that wants to be free. I mean free, to stand to your feet and come and kneel at this altar right now. Come on. Let it breathe on me. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Hallelujah. I want you to plan to get out of Sodom. Don't even hobnob with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Glory to God. Make yourself some new friends. Get yourself a promise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. We're not just coming as people that are drifting. We got the way out. We're going to get out. Hallelujah. Brother, there's power at this altar. I want you to begin to cry out to God. Hey, you people that have come here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sing that chorus with us, brother. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. I feel led to ask in just a minute every single person in this building that is sitting out there in a minute to kneel, not now, but in a minute, either here or at your seat, probably preferably at your seat as this altar has already failed. I'm going to do something in altar call I've never done, didn't plan it. I just felt God definitely led me, and I'm going to ask everyone that physically can do it, whether you know Jesus or not, whether you're a member of this church or not. If you want something better in your life spiritually, I want every single one in this audience to turn around and kneel at your seat now. If for some reason you can't, I want you to bow your head right there at your seat. But if you're physically possible at all, I want you to turn around and kneel in your seat all over this building. Then I'm going to tell you what to do when you get there. I want you to kneel right there. Everyone. If for some reason physically you can, then just bow your head. Now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, listen to me just a minute. No one is looking. No one will acknowledge who you are. Only you will know and God will know. But you must be willing to confess your weakness. I'd like to see the hands of people all over this building who'll say, Pastor, after your sermon tonight, I'm not sure that I know Jesus. One day we're sure I'm not walking in victory. Preacher, I believe this message was for me. I cannot say I do not know. I've heard enough gospel to save me and enough to condemn me. I'm not leaving ignorant. I've never given an altar call in 26 years like this. But as everyone kneels in their seats and here at the front, I'd like to see the hand of everyone who'll say, "Preacher, I'm not walking in victory. I cannot honestly say if the trumpet would blow tonight, I'd be ready to meet God. And preacher, I want to know Jesus. Will you pray for me?" I want everyone in this building that needs prayer, you're not sure you know Jesus, put your hand up right now. Let me see it. Raise them. Hold them up real high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's a 12. 12 to 20 people. I want everyone in this building to repeat this prayer with me right now. If you'll pray it and mean it, Jesus is about to come into your heart right now. Hallelujah. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. I want you as my Savior. I do not want to languish in defeat. Forgive me, God. I give my life to you. I become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. I confess my old wicked ways. And I take on a new life. I become your child. Thank you for coming into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all just raise our hands and praise God for coming into those 12 to 20 people. Let's raise our hands and praise God. Everybody raise your hands and let's begin to worship God for victory in our lives. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Let's begin to praise Him. Everybody, just let your praise ring in this audience. With me together. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and He bought me. That's your confession. With His redeemed. Like that and just clench it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. What a confession. Forever He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming. He loved me ere I
and all my love is to Him.
He plunged
me
to victory.
Victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Everybody that's got victory, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody that's going to live victorious, say Jesus.
Jesus.
It's possible. In the name of Jesus. How many felt God here tonight? Hallelujah. Boy, isn't God doing wonderful things in our church? How many feel God's doing great things in our midst? Can I just tell you a couple things? Jed, come up here. The old hotline is about ready to roll. Starts Monday. Can I tell you what's already happened? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. I'll let you. You want to? I'll tell one if you can tell the other. You want to tell them both, but let me tell one. First of all, I won't tell yours, I'll tell mine, okay. How many saw the article in the paper that said, guideline, got problems? Guideline will solve them, something like that. And I looked at that and I knew that's the name of our program, and I saw that thing, I said, Lord, that can't be us. Because I didn't promote that. How many realize that God can do some promoting Himself? Amen. Well, they told about our new phone center that's going to start. They listed all of them in town. They said, now they'll solve this and that, but this one goes 24 hours a day with live people there. And they minister spiritually to the Spirit, which will solve the problem. Well, it starts Monday, tomorrow. We want you to tell everybody about it so they can call in. Call in your prayers. It'll be a 24-hour prayer chain around the clock at all hours. Praying and counseling with people. And don't be discouraged, you people that are there. If you're not counseling, start praying. Just pray for everything. Pray for the needs of the church. Boy, people call in, they'll have a list of things to pray for. Start praying about them. Start seeking God. Now, so they begin to call in. I won't tell you about the first one they called in, but the second one was, they couldn't get a hold because it wasn't open, so somehow they ended up getting a hold of, what's her name? Sister... No, Sister...
Tudor. Nancy Tudor.
Sister Tudor, yes. Sister Tudor, there you are. Stand up, Sister Tudor. Praise God. They wanted a call back, so she did. These people were in need of clothing and food, and she went over and led them to Jesus. And they were here this morning and walked the aisles. Can you say a good amen? And then I got another call back there. It said someone called in because they knew it was associated with this church and couldn't get in the hotline. And they want also to be saved. They want to send somebody else. And what happened to you?
Well, the newspaper thing was absolutely a miracle. Gary Isaacson called about some advertising, and they called up to the other department. A newsman called and talked to him on the phone. Talking to him on the phone at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 5 o'clock, he got home, and it was on the paper already. There was no idea it would be that soon. Well, then some girl read that article and needed to be ministered to about 1 o'clock in the morning. That night or the next night? And nobody working the phone. So she went to the trouble to look up Gary Isaacson, whose name was in the paper, and called him at his house, and he led her to the Lord. 1 in the morning. It was me. Yeah, good. Talk about the advertising. Gary also, he's doing all the legwork, and I appreciate it because I have enough to do. But anyway, he called the city bus department about some advertising, and it just happened that the head man for all the advertising for a bunch of bus companies was there in the office. And normally it would cost 90, I got a kick out of this because his office is like in Des Moines or someplace. He happened to be there in Davenport answering the phone when Gary Isaacson called. And he said, normally it costs $95 a month to advertise on all the buses on both sides of the river, but I believe in what you're doing, so we'll charge you for the labor to put the signs up, which will be about $20 a month. And glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Turn on that projector, and I want you to just flip those on the board one more time. I want you to write them in your Bible. Some of you want to come up later, and I feel led to do one more thing after I close. We'll do this. I'd like for everybody out here, anywhere that feels the need for someone to deal with them, to counsel with them, to help them. You got a problem, you need someone to talk it over with. I want you to come up here and just sit on the steps. And I want you people that know God, know how to pray, people to come up and pray with them. I want any of you that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to come up here and meet with our sisters over here and some of the brethren who will pray with you. And God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You must be willing to be free. You must confess your sins. You must know that sin hurts God. You must go that God has delivering power. You must know that He has the legal right to your deliverance. We must draw from the strength of God's people. We must change our association. We must commit ourselves to specific Christian service. We must claim the promise for victory. And the last three, we must care about spiritual people. We are given a list of spiritual army. And third, we're going to testify victory. Feel free to come up here and turn these on and write them in your Bible. Every time you need victory, just go through those steps. And they're for you today. Anybody wants needs, come right up here and stand on the platform. And you that were willing to deal with them, you come and stand here and wait to see if there's anyone. How many feel this has been a great day? If you feel that, say amen. Let's all stand to our feet together. Turn around, tell someone you love them, and you can be dismissed. May the Lord richly bless you.